We're talking Queen Sugar, Season 1, Episode 4, The Darker Sooner. Make sure you stay tuned because we got lots to say.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Sugar. Yeah.
Oh, honey, honey. This is like
the Carlton Defector.
Yes. You guys get it? Because it's called Queen Sugar, so we eat sugar. Yeah. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Queen Sugar After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. I'm Tian Hobson, in case you didn't know that. You can follow me on Twitter, at the Tian Hobson. Let us know what you guys are thinking. Tweet us right now. We have our phones right here. We're open to discussion. Let us know what you like about the show, what you didn't like about the show. Not us, the show. Joining me tonight, I've got Ryan Graham in the building.
Yes, Ryan Graham here. I'm really excited to talk tonight. I feel like so much happened this episode. You can also find me on Twitter, Ryan with 2 Instagram. Shameless plug there. But yes, definitely let us know. We love to hear your questions. We read your comments, and so we want to definitely make sure we are answering your questions and engaging in conversation. So please let us know what you think.
Yes, and let's dive right into this episode because, like you said, so much happened.
Yeah.
I want to start talking about my favorite character right now.
Who is
Ralph Angel.
Ralph Angel?
Okay, I just love him so much.
Me too.
He's trying so hard, and you can see that he's the single dad who's just trying to do everything right, and he keeps not quite getting there, but he's trying so hard.
He is. I don't mean to be so hard at him, because I feel like sometimes I get really harsh.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like this episode, we've seen him just like, oh, he's making these steps, and like, he's just sitting there in the bank, and he's like, okay, I'm getting this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to take care of this farm. And then, like, immediately, Charlie's like, let's cut that down.
Let's cut it down. I'm going to keep a close eye on you, Ralph Angel, because I don't trust that you're actually doing what you're supposed to be doing. Which has to be hard, too, because, you know, he has these two older sisters who, first of all, didn't even want to originally keep the farm. And now they've decided to keep it, but now they're both not wanting to be involved, but also being overly involved at the same time. Yeah, they're micromanaging him.
And it's got to be hard. Like, I feel like because everyone babies Ralph, I know that he doesn't want to be babied. No grown man wants to continue to be babied. So, like, it sucks to have your aunt do it, your dad did it all your life, and your sisters are doing it now, and it's like you finally have this sense of, like, yes, I'm an adult, I can take charge of this, and then you barely get in the parking lot, and someone's already babying you, and it's like, you see his frustration come through in that opening scene, and he's like, yeah, I was just about to call you and tell you, but they didn't waste any time, and like, you can see he's just instantly defeated, mm-hmm. and that, I hope that's so his life, this episode.
It's his life, just, he's so defeated, so because, sad. I mean, and I need to talk about this coworker friend that he got, because
that was weird.
I don't think we caught his name, but from the moment he approached, I was a little like, is he shady? Because Ralph, you just got this job, you have to keep
working
a full-time job on top of doing this farming stuff for your
probation.
Yeah. So let's not jeopardize that right now. And there's this guy who's just coming over like, oh yeah, man, I'll cover for you, don't worry about it. I'm like, I don't know you.
Yeah.
You're being a little too nice and trusting. How do I know you're actually going to finish my job for me and not just go rat me out to the boss and say, hey, Ralph left early.
See, and I guess I'm just
I'm not
naive.
Trusting.
I know. Like, I'm really like, oh, wow, maybe I'm just very naive. But I didn't get that vibe at first. I was like, okay, wow, he's making friends at work. He's making friends, and like, this guy's going to be his pal. Like, I agree. Towards the end of the episode, it got to be like,
mm-hmm.
it was something he said when Ralph came back to work, and he goes, I think exactly what he said was, we look out for each other. And it wasn't what he said, it was how he said it. Because there was something about that head nod and the tilt back, like, we look out for each other, but either A, you now owe me, or B, I'm not laying out everything that I'm thinking right now.
And it's also,
very interesting.
Yeah, and remember, this is a job that the boss hires a lot of people in his situation who are fresh out of jail, who need the job. So you're also working with other people who are criminals as well. And I'm not saying that people can't change or anything, but there is that sort of, you know, the prison culture of like, hey, we look out for each other, you know. that sort of like,
yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, that sort of camaraderie. So it's scary because it's like, you don't know what that means.
Right.
We look out for each other as in, hey, man, my kid's sick today and I can't make it in. Can you cover a shift for me? Or, hey, can you take this package for me down the street and some guy's going to come pick it up from me? Hell no.
Yeah, right. Right.
There's a difference.
But the thing is that it gets to the point where you can't refuse that because we look out for each other. And it's, yeah, so that's a very sinister line. And then we already see that him helping Ralph in a way was already a lie because he got Ralph to buy this diseased cane. And yeah. It was like, oh, so that already sucks. It was another point for Ralph where he was like, look, I did it. Like, he got denied the sugar cane. And
the St. Joseph's was sold out because he should have ordered it in advance, which Charlie did mention on the phone that he should have called ahead. And he was like, I got this. Don't worry about it. Even Remy kind of said something to him about, like, do you have this yet? Like, people are...
But a caveat to that, I feel like the way that the man who was selling it, the way he described it made it seem like it wasn't like, oh, you call today. Like, it made it seem like that
you felt
like
order
something you had to have done like months in advance. So how could anyone blame Ralph for that? I felt like whatever that rule was, it felt very much like, this isn't your fault, Ralph. Like, but I mean,
I will say that, but like, there he could have called ahead to see, hey, do you have any? If not, where can I find do you have any other people? But he caught this guy as he's trying to leave work for the day. He's been there all day.
Yeah.
He doesn't have time, but he already was nice enough to reopen, go in and look check. For you and check. And, you know, Ralph kind of went off on him. I was like, dude, I wouldn't have even done that for you. If I'm leaving work at the end of the day, I'm out. I turn off my computer, it's gone. Adios. Don't ask me no questions. I'll see you at 9 a.m. the next day. Like, Tiana out. Drop the mic. Boom.
And the thing about Ralph's anger it appears that he has kind of an anger issue because he popped off and has popped off
multiple times
in the series. And I'm like, there are some times I'm like, oh, this feels like a very harsh reaction to a very minor problem. When he found out the cane was diseased, frustrating moment, I get it, but like his rage at that, I was like, okay, Ralph, this feels very over the top anger. And not like, I feel like there has to be something in his past. Like, I think we're gonna find out more about what his actual crimes were, and I feel like it's gonna have something to do with him in his angry outbursts, because I feel like he has them too often.
He does have them a lot. And I mean, with the sugar cane, like, you can see why you would be frustrated about this, because, you know, you just spent $15,000 on some diseased, dead crap that your shady coworker hooked up the deal for. And I'm not saying that his coworker knew that his cousin was going to sell him something that was bad, but he just mentioned his cousin, like, yeah, you know, he couldn't even keep the business, so he's selling everything. It's like, well, why couldn't he? Because his shit was disease. That's why. Maybe if he had some non-disease sugar, he wouldn't have to close down his farm.
And the thing that sucks about it even more is that Charlie warned Ralph. She said, make sure you shop around, make sure you ask, and, like, he didn't. So it's another, like, jab.
Yeah.
It's just like, Charlie was right again.
Again. And then him and... So he's avoiding calls from Charlie and dealing with all this stuff, and, you know, Charlie, for someone who's not in town, she's like that parent that has spies everywhere. Because, I mean, she got Remy now. She's on the phone with her sister. She's on the phone with all these people checking in on Ralph Angel to make sure he's doing stuff. So him and Nova actually get into it when she finally gets in touch with him.
Right.
Because, you know, she's like, you didn't even buy the stuff, did you? And he's like, well, you know what? You live here, too. Where have you been?
Right.
He's got to pick up his son. He's got to go to work. He's got to do all this stuff. And she is working as well, so we understand
she
that.
Has stuff to do.
But, hey, he has to make sure his child gets picked up. If he couldn't make it there and to work and then to this place, hey, Ralph, like, I'll go check on the seed.
Right.
And you get the baby. Or I'll get the baby,
and
you go do this.
It's like she's not offering any type of help for him. But she's giving criticism. And at the same time, not that Nova doesn't care. I don't think Nova is the micromanaging type. I think she was just trying to get Charlie off of her back.
Yeah.
And funny that Charlie has all of these spies on the family in Louisiana, but seems to have no idea what's going on with her child, her husband, like, none of that. She didn't have any spies for that, but she knows what's going on.
But she knows what's going on everywhere else.
Right, so.
And, you know, speaking of Nova and how much work she's doing, so she's hunting down this story right now.
Right.
And it's actually a very deep and real thing that happens. Yes. Our system is so screwed up.
It is.
And the way that things go. So last week we saw her talking to Too Sweet, the little boy who was in jail. And we find out this week that, you know, he had one
joint
on him. A joint. And he was forced to take a plea for possession and resisting arrest. And
it's nuts.
And it's nuts for one blunt. And he is now in an adult prison as a minor.
And the crazy thing about it is that I feel like a lot of systems will prey on the poor and disenfranchised because they can't afford a lawyer who can, like, defend them. Be like, no, this is a lot for something so minimal. So, like, it's people who are underprivileged, and then they know it, and they know that you're going to use a public defender who's overworked, and the public defender isn't going to have time, who probably won't even know what your case is. He probably read your file 2 hours before he got to the court.
Or he's reading it as he's walking into the courtroom.
So it's like, so you are set up to fail. And it's like, the way they were describing it was that the prisons were, the for-profit prisons were in cahoots with the police department and the DA. So it's like they all work together because they're skimming money off the top for the for-profit prisons because they're making money off of all the inmates. And the more inmates they have, the more profit they're making. And I'm like, this is slavery. Like, legitimately,
it is
100% slavery. Like, this is a new, this is, you this are is creating, it, yeah, it's the new age. It's just a fun, not fun, but it's a less discreet or a more discreet slavery.
Yeah,
it's like,
they found a new way to keep criminals. Us.
Yeah. They're, it's not because they're black. No. They're criminals.
But like, it's like, oh, little Bobby boy over the white kid who had, you know, three blunts on his possession is in counseling now. And oh no, little Johnny would never do anything bad. We're going to send him to Malibu and go to rehab in the mountains.
This is a lot of trouble for 20 minutes of happiness, not to quote someone else who's, you know what I mean? Like, it's very interesting and very real, the difference between what happens to young black people, specifically young black men and non-black people who commit the same misdemeanor crimes. Because really, we ain't never really hurt nobody.
Exactly.
But okay.
But no, this is something that is actually going on. It's happening every single day in America. And I really hope that what I love about this show is that they're using this. And I love that they've made Nova a journalist who is out there looking for the real stories. Her boss even says, you know, I don't like the pop culture crap that
they want.
This is what we do. This is investigative journalism, and you're finding a problem. And she even says, if I do this right, I could change the system.
Right.
Because people don't know that this is happening, or people aren't, you know, they're not woke to what's happening.
Right.
So it's even in these TV shows, they are taking very real issues, and they're putting it in the forefront. So it's like, I hope that when people watch this, and especially people who are not of color are watching this, that they're realizing that this is real life.
Right.
This isn't just fiction created for television. This part in particular is very real, and you need to be aware of what's happening.
And I think that the line that her boss even had about, I don't want the gossip that the media wants, I think that's important too, because I do think all too often, we are so caught up in gossip. Like, look at the Brad and Angelina breakup, and that is the headline when there was a man shot for his car being stalled. But the headline is Brad and Angelina breaking up.
Yep.
And it's like, literally, the media is so obsessed with gossip. And not, I mean, honestly, it's not that it doesn't matter, because it is important to Brad and Angelina, but it's not, it really doesn't affect or matter. It should not matter to everyone else, but that's what is important.
When Jill and Joe got divorced, they're not famous, so I'm not in their divorce. I shouldn't be in your divorce as a celebrity. You should have
some
sort of privacy when it comes to your life, even though you're in the public eye. And I agree that it's just such a shame that that was plastered everywhere. I posted a picture of like one of the, you know, Black Lives Matters, Justice for Everyone pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And it got maybe like 20 likes on Instagram, 3 likes on Facebook. I post a picture of me at a event last night with a celebrity. Yeah. Hundreds of likes on Facebook. And I was like, where were you people when I posted this other thing? Where are the people who are mad at Kaepernick for kneeling when this is happening? Like, I have so many Facebook friends who were so offended by him taking a knee. Yeah. And yet, I post something about someone who looks like me, who could have been my brother, my uncle, my dad,
yeah,
any of my family members, or just a friend that I know, and they don't care a lick about it.
Silent.
It's amazing to me that that is the world we live in.
It's definitely something that I think we need to start having conversations about. So I don't know. I guess anyone out there listening, I feel like we have.
Yeah.
Anyone out there listening, like, definitely have those conversations with your friends. Mm-hmm. It is uncomfortable, but you have to be uncomfortable to become comfortable. So if you never get uncomfortable, you're just going to continue the same thing. So you do need to definitely have those conversations with people. Don't be afraid.
Yeah. So back to Too Sweet.
Right.
Too Sweet. he's now in the hospital, and actually our little our boo Calvin calls up Nova and is like, "Hey, your friend's son is in the hospital. Guards aren't saying what happened. They said he fell. Clearly,
he didn't fall. Who into what?
You ain't in the ICU unit, all protected. If you just fell down,
yeah,
something happened." So yeah, that was really hard to see. And you see her praying for him and taking photos as like evidence mm-hmm. of what it is. And you see her also getting the runaround from the DA and from everyone
It's like everyone's warning her against. Like, it's almost like they're like, you. You don't know how deep these roots go, and, mm-hmm. like, you are fighting a losing battle, which is so sad to think that, like, she is on the... And I think at that point, that's how she knows. And I think Nova is stronger than to give up, but that's how she knows that she is on the cusp of something great, because everyone's trying to stop her. So mm-hmm. it's like, you know, like, okay, too many people are trying to stop me from doing this, so I know that I'm about to, like, really get in here and bust some stuff up.
Yeah.
Bust some stuff up.
And then we have... Aunt V and Hollywood.
I love them.
They're so cute.
They really are.
Hollywood is hilarious. So he's got to go back to work now. He's taking some time off.
What does he do again? I don't remember.
I believe he drives trucks.
Okay, like, that was big what rig. I got, but I didn't understand.
Because last week when he was talking to that Roberta chick at the diner, she kind of said, like, "Oh, don't you get lonely out there on the road?" So that's what made me think he must be some type of traveling
trucker type of guy.
So he's got to go back to work. And she's not happy about it.
I feel like she's going through a rough time. Like, because, I mean, even their conversations about him being younger, her being older. I think death in anyone's family really sets in mortality, especially mm-hmm. when it's someone of your generation. It wasn't like, oh, your parents died, which is also like something that lets reality sit in. But like your brother dying, it's one of the things where it's like, okay.
He's only a couple years older.
Yeah, she so says it's real. It becomes more like, okay, like my mortality is more real. And so I think it's all that together and her kind of being like, you know, I love you, but like, I don't know how much time we have together. So mm-hmm. it's that. And then so wanting to spend more time with him. And I get it. I can understand dating someone who's older or younger than me and wanting to spend the good years that we have together. Mm-hmm. So it will be sad, especially right after someone died. Like her brother's been dead for like a couple months now. So it's
probably like a week.
I feel like it's been longer than that. I feel like the farm and the money and all. You think it's been like a week, really?
Well, because... maybe 2 weeks at this point. Because last week, when they read the will... That was only a couple days that within reading the will, her, Charlie leaving and the offer coming in
but
to
now
sell the
back
land.
In LA and, okay. I mean, maybe it is.
Because remember, the guy said, I forget his name, said that, like, if you don't get that, if it doesn't get planted quickly, like, you're going to miss your window. So,
you're right. Okay.
But it's probably been like a week and a half, 2 weeks since dad died. But yeah, I think that her grieving process is just, you know, she's been leaning on him and she's had. And they always say that when you're grieving or when you lose someone, everyone's there in the mm-hmm. beginning. Yeah. And everyone's there. And then the funeral happens. And then everyone leaves. And they all have to go back to their lives. And you're just, and that's when you're, like, stuck there alone. Mm-hmm. And so I think she's still used to having everyone around. And now he's leaving. And he's been her rock to lean on through all the family drama. So I think she's just, you know, mentally unstable in a way of, like... Oh, I'm losing this person.
Who's
my person. And she wasn't sure how to deal with that. And I'm glad that she did figure out her process. And by the end, you know, family dinner. And
That's the one thing about that. Like, I love that no matter what, the family always seems to come back. And it's like, okay. You guys are always there for each other. Because even Ralph and Nova make up in the end. And it's like, mm-hmm. okay, I love to see... that you all still stick together no matter what.
Yeah.
The thing about their relationship is that I like them so much that it makes me nervous.
Especially over that preview.
I know. I'm like, ugh. But I like, because I'm like, I don't know, maybe it's like Game of Thrones syndrome, but it's like when you love something, it will die.
It will die. Yes.
So I don't know. They make me nervous.
Random question for you, because at this family dinner, Blue runs in and gives Nova a big hug, and she's like, all right, like, I want to hear all about your day. Go wash up for dinner first. Why is it always the kids that gotta go wash up for dinner? Because then they're like, picking up stuff with their dirty hands.
Spreading it
all over the place.
That is weird.
My mom and dad never, ever once said, go wash up for dinner. Like, I don't know what that actually entails besides, like, I assume it means go wash your hands.
Yeah.
But if my parents wanted me to go wash my hands, they'd say, go wash my hands. I don't know exactly what that entails of washing up for dinner, but I think adults should have to wash up too. And they're always telling a kid to do it.
And everything. You're right. Every TV show's like, oh, go wash up. And
when was the last time you washed your hands?
Really?
You just walked in the same door I walked in from.
And you've been putting plates on the table. Yeah. So where have your hands been? Because now we all infected.
That was just my random question of the night, I guess.
I'm curious. Do I wash up? I'm going to Google, what does wash up mean?
Like, are they supposed to take a full shower?
Yeah, like, am I showering? Is that what you're telling me? Like, I stink?
All right, so let's get into the LA chapter.
The LA chapter.
So, Charlie and Davis, they're trying to handle everything. We're losing endorsement deals right now.
It's falling apart.
The league is, you know, talking about indefinitely suspending him. And then we have the other players who were also involved not calling back or not being in touch. Like, she can't get in touch with the wives.
Shady. Being very shady. Like, it's like they are all like, okay, we're teaming up against Davis. And so this could go one or two ways. I don't know how to take it. Because part of me is like, is it that they're separating themselves from Davis because Davis did this? Or is it that they're like, okay, we need a fall guy and we are picking Davis? So it's like, I'm so torn right now because I'm like, part of me is like, as the season progressed, this episode made me kind of like, I don't know how I feel about Davis anymore. Like, because before I was like, nope, he did it. But then there were some elements tonight that I was like, okay, maybe. Yeah. Like, maybe there is something else. Obviously, there's something else here. Like, when we found out Goldie and, like, that she has priors and that she has group sex on her website that she does. So I'm like, okay.
Maybe he was telling the truth about we hired her.
Right. And she
not
was,
rape.
He was hiring her to do what she was supposed to do, unfortunately for Charlie, but that's what they got her for. So I don't know how to take it. What are your thoughts on that? How do you feel about the team and how they react? Like, what do you think?
So when they have that meeting with the owner of the team and the coach.
Right.
It's interesting that I'm assuming the coach who Charlie went back to talk with.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, the team's trying to create distance because we don't know where this is going to go.
Right.
And Davis is already, they established in the first episode that he's getting older and he's built this team to get him a ring.
Right.
And now he's older and these are the young guys who he brought in.
And so it's like,
hey, Davis, if we lose out on you, like, yeah, that would suck and we could pay you out and
but we have number one draft picks
yeah. over here. So they're looking at the future of their franchise. Right. So I can understand from a business point why you are getting rid of the negative thing here and trying to make it go away for these guys so that you can
continue the franchise.
Your franchise can be solid for the next 10 years as opposed to the next 10 seconds with just Davis there.
Right.
So I understand that. I don't believe that that's how you should do business, but people forget, like, yes, this is people's lives we're talking about with the trading and everything that happens in professional sports. Like, these athletes have families who they are uprooting and moving every time they get traded. They are missing out on money. But at the end of the day, this is a business to the people in the front office.
Right.
And they have to protect their business at whatever cost.
And I feel like there are some people who that is their mindset, where it's like they don't view – I've said this before. I've kind of like – some sports can also be looked as slavery in a way. Because it is. It's a game that's like – buying, selling, trading people. And, like, I mean, granted, they're making millions of dollars, so it's different. But is it? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of them are just products.
Mm-hmm.
And so Davis has become an expendable product. He's dead Kane. Yeah. He's got that fungus
on him now. And you don't want the fungus to start spreading to the rest of the team. You're trying to get rid of that one fungi before it causes a problem. So you've got 10 good ones over here and one bad one over there. We're going to get rid of that one.
Exactly.
So it's very interesting. And it was very interesting, too, with their meeting with Miriam, how they kind of set up that one wife.
Miriam's the agent.
Miriam's the agent. And I thought it was really interesting how she was schmoozing with the player's wife and saying, yes, well, you know, if I start representing your husband, this is what I bring. And she's like, your husband will be in great hands with me. And I was just sitting there looking at, where your husband at? Shouldn't he be a part of this meeting if you're meeting with a potential agent for your husband?
What do you play? I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Well, I just thought about it because she brought up her husband. I was like, well, where is he if you guys are doing business together?
Very interesting.
But, you know, we see how involved Charlie is with her husband stuff. So I know there are wives out there who are, you know, managers. Yeah. And like, I have an uncle who played professional basketball, and my aunt knows everything, all of his meetings. Like, she is there. She's in it. She's not the wife who's like, oh, like, just give me fancy things, you know? Right. She's like there. She wants to be involved. So I could see that, but I thought it was interesting how they did that, because I was like, ooh, Miriam.
I know. I was like, wow, that was quick. Like, you were
just dumping him.
And then when they were in the bathroom, I thought they were going to have like a confrontation, and then they switched that double agent. And I was like, oh, okay, Charlie, I like the way you play. Like, yeah. Charlie's, she's very smart. Like, I mean, and not that I didn't think she was, but like, her moves are very calculated and very smart. And I do like the way Charlie goes about her business, because I think that she is always one step ahead in some aspects of her life, because there are some things that
not so much. And like this Estelle Peterson person that she brought in, this Shady. New criminal lawyer who has the idea of, you know, some of my clients do backwards deals and they make a problem go away by paying off the person. Mm-mm. And for me to be agreeing with Davis on this.
I think that that's what made me go, I think Davis is right.
Because it always comes out that the person's been paid off. We might not find out how much money the girl got.
We know.
But we're always going to know that she got paid off. And that is just, to me, it makes you look guilty.
It is, because the imagination is worse than the truth. Mm-hmm. Because if they go to trial and it comes out, what happens, okay, these are the facts we know. My imagination is always going to be a million times worse.
Yes.
And I'm going to 100% be like, yeah, you did that.
And if you didn't do it, then the evidence and the proof in the system, which I know the system right now to say that, to trust in the system, it's hard to say that. But I feel like in this situation, if you're adamant that you did not rape this girl,
right,
then why would you even consider buying her out? Because that just looks guilty, and no one's ever going
to
believe you.
And that comes back to Charlie, because Davis is against her, but it lets you know that Charlie does not. No matter
Charlie
what she's saying,
Charlie just wants it to go away.
She wants to go away at any cost, and I think she ultimately does not believe Davis. I think she doesn't.
See, I think there's just holes in his story. Every time he talks about it, he gives us a little bit more information, like how it was like, oh, it went from, I didn't rape her, I didn't rape her, too. Oh, she was a prostitute.
That's what we brought
This is what we brought her. Oh, I paid for this. Like, oh, you know, it was like,
And now here's her name.
Yeah, oh, here's her name. Her name's Goldie.
Weird.
So it's just weird how every time he talks, some new information comes out. So I don't think we've gotten the whole story.
No.
But I also don't think at this point, I don't think I believe that he raped her. Do I think he had sex with her?
Definitely.
Yes. I do not think, right now, with the evidence that has been presented in this show thus far, that there was rape involved, at least on his part. Maybe someone went back for seconds later after the group had finished and she's calling that the rape. That would be yes. But now there's rumors of a rape kit, so I would like to see the results of that. And
ultimately, it ends up in the end of the... This is actually, like, I guess, a cliffhanger on the episode. Was that, so we find out that there is a settlement offer that they gave, just to throw it out, and it was $500,000, and she said no, Goldie said no. And like, she goes, well, what does that mean? What was her exact last line?
Does she want?
What does she want was the exact line. And, I mean, like, I feel like we all know the answer, because it's like, if she's not looking for money, then it sounds like he did this. Because I feel like, who would go through all of that? Like, if all your whole point was to get money.
Or it sounds like they had some sort of ongoing relationship, and she's trying to now be like, you're not going to make me your side piece anymore. Like,
You think?
This is coming out. I don't know.
But I feel like, I mean, you're right. I mean, that it's possible. But I feel like the way he was carrying her, who carries their side piece? Who passes their side piece around like that?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I don't know. I've never had one.
Me either.
No. But it's like, who's just like, yo, here's my side piece. Everyone have them. Like, to me, that
yeah.
I feel like that's...
That was a little right. shady. It's possible. The part where she didn't want the money, so that does make him guilty of something. I'm just not sure if the what? Something is rape. Yeah,
I agree. I don't... I do think that he is being set up. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like part of that's just like...
But, yeah,
and then off of Davis's troubles, you know, his Micah, his son is being affected by this. So Micah and his girlfriend are in this loving relationship. They seem like a cute teenage couple, which
I saw shady from the start.
I didn't like Stella from the beginning. I really didn't. But
Stella,
I don't know. So weird. So look, can we talk about the moment when they're like making out in the bed and he's, I love you, and she goes.
Aww, Micah. Warning sign number one that something ain't right in your relationship.
He should have known then and there if someone is like, oh, that's cute.
That's nice.
That's how you know.
That's how you know. Yeah. Something's not right.
That's the end of this relationship.
Yeah. And then the next day she's not talking to him. She's blowing him off completely, which we already knew mom had a problem with him, and I had assumed the problem was with what was happening with his father.
Right.
Which does not mean that he is guilty or anything. Yeah. It's like, I could see a mom not wanting her daughter hanging out around this at their house or something.
Yeah, that's a lot
of tension. That's a lot of tension and a lot of paparazzi her daughter's now in the focus of and everything. Right. But to flat out, like, set him up to be expelled...
Do you think the mom set him up? Do you think that Stella is actually cheating?
I am not sure because there's that website with pictures of them kissing and stuff, which I wrote on my notes as soon as like Stella shows sight to Micah. That's not appropriate. The photos that are up there with minors involved.
Yeah, all
like
of this is
it wrong. Looked like their clothes were on, but it was still kind of
it was seductive. It was weird
because they're minors, and so it just shouldn't be on the internet. Someone should shut down the site for like possible child pornography type
very
of stuff.
Weird.
It was very weird. And then you know this whole like sending a lewd text thing came out, and I was just like, I mean. Just last night, he was about to give her the D.
He doesn't need to show you a picture.
Like
it was very weird. I didn't understand that whole thing. Like, I mean, I understood it literally, but I was like, that whole shift in their relationship just felt very rapid. I was like, oh, okay, she's just mad. Like,
yeah.
I honestly was like, did I fall asleep? Did I miss something in this episode? Like, why is she so pissed? And looking at it now, I think the mom did it. And set him up. Because he said it wasn't his. So.
Yeah. But. He said that the first time he even knew what was in the picture was when the principal just said it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, now you have another black kid who's getting kicked out of a school now for something, for a crime he did not commit.
Yeah.
There was no sort of, like, hey, investigation into this. It was, she says it's his dick, he's out. And how is that fair in any way? I could... Show you a picture of a vagina. That's hers.
I'm like, yeah, what? No.
Because the petty side of me was thinking, well, if he sent her something, she definitely sent something back.
Like,
so let's check the phone records.
That's what I would have said. I'm like, because you don't just send pictures.
You don't just
Nobody's
send one.
Nobody's just sending.
Yeah, I mean.
Not when you're in a relationship. No.
No, not at all. So the mom side of me, even though I'm not a mom right now, I was like, oh, hell no, that's not how my kid's getting kicked out. I was full Charlie on this moment, like, no, this is not the end of this. We will sue, we will be back, we are going to fight this, and I know that poor Micah's heart is just broken right now, because he can't even imagine that, you know, this is happening to him. He's 15 years old, and like, he's going through his dad's stuff, and now his dad's stuff is affecting his relationship and his friendships, so it's hard for him. Too, so I just felt so bad for that boy. All right. That was a lot.
But the thing is that, you know, it also should also show that, you know, it doesn't matter how much money you have, sometimes when you're black, stuff still happens to you. But.
Yeah. Like, the fact that she just pointed and said, this is his, and there was not an investigation.
Did they even do, like, skin tone tests?
Yeah, like, did we do a skin tone test? Because if it was real black, it definitely wasn't his. It was darker than, you know, he high yellow, so, whatever. All right, let's get into some predictions.
Yes.
AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So... I'm concerned about Hollywood
and Vi
because telling you. It looked like some shady stuff was going on with Roberta over there. And we seen her thirsty ass last week all in the window and stuff.
And there was a brief moment in this preview where we don't know the situation.
I don't know.
But he was definitely standing up and throwing his phone down, and some woman that was not by was in a bed. I'm
telling you, it is Roberta.
I said they've been too happy this whole season, so mm-hmm. I'm like, someone's got to go wrong.
Got to have something there. Do you think we'll get the results of Charlie's test results?
I was going to say that, because she said test everything. She's pregnant. Because she's pregnant. And I think that's the last thing she wants or needs right now, so I definitely...
But then I was thinking that she was getting tested, like...
For diseases.
So then I'm thinking, what if...
No.
Because... He says that, you know, he had sex with this girl. He probably was having sex with multiple girls this whole time. Right. So I'm not mad at her for getting tested, but what if she comes back with something? Because then, you know, Davis's ass is really in some trouble. You gave me something on top of it?
She's going to kill him. She might kill him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Part of me thinks that it'll be pregnant before disease, but both are possible.
I don't want pregnancy because I want her and Remy to start getting together. So I don't need her pregnant with someone else's baby with Remy, because that phone conversation they had, we didn't really talk about it, but I mean, that was the first time we've seen her smile and laugh.
Oh, yeah.
In a very long time.
And it was very high school. Like, it was. She was blushing. Like, it was cute.
She calling all the way to New Orleans from LA to check in, and this ain't his job, and he's answering.
I love their incestuous relationship, because you know that's her brother.
It's not her brother.
I'm just saying, I can't wait.
It's not her brother.
That's still my prediction.
No, I will not accept that as a prediction or as a storyline. Go in and I'll be like, nope, we will skip over it. It did not happen. Do you have any other predictions?
I think that Ralph Angels... It's going to come back, because he's been floating too long, and I feel like all of his stuff's about to come back to him. It's got to, because I feel like episode 5 next week, we're hitting the midpoint.
Yep.
I think he's about to really get hit.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to us rant about this show. We hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we did. Be sure to check us out on AfterBuzz TV, all over social media, AfterBuzzTV.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, you name it, we got it. Just look for us on... everywhere at AfterBuzz TV. And where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Ryan with 2 N's Graham, and on Instagram at Instagram.
And you can find me at the Tiana Hobson everywhere. Twitter, Instagram, all that jazz. See you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.